This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Julius Fast is the author of a book that was a little bit controversial when it came out. It was called Body Language. Body Language. What's body language? Well, Julius Fast says that we communicate with people without saying a word just by our body language, the way we stand, the way we walk into a room, the way we control the space around us, the way we hold our arms, that there are messages that are communicated with our body language. A humorous example, a Catholic church in the Midwest advertised that on a particular Sunday, they were going to be more demonstrative in their worship service in terms of showing friendship and affection. So on such and such a Sunday, they were going to establish this where you could greet one another around, people around you with a hug. On the Sunday before that started, the service was over, the mass was over, and a man turned around and started to hug the woman behind him. And she said, "That funny stuff doesn't start till next Sunday, pal." So that's, for to her, that was funny stuff. She wasn't into being touched or touching other people. That's part of body language as well. Some people are natural touchers. What I'm going to talk to you today is about belief language. We've been in a series for 4 weeks on one word, the word believe. And the word believe is the most important word in your vocabulary, whether you recognize it or not, because you are the result of what you believe. It's so hard for some people to change their mind about anything. You may have a relative who say, he will not change his mind about anything. And a psychologist said the reason for that, for some people, to change their mind means I have to change what I believe. To change my mind means I have to change what I believe about another person or about a situation or about a problem. And that's why it's hard for some people to change their mind, because they're not about to change what they believe. I'm going to do this every week. Please bear with me, but I'm going to review each of the weeks prior to the message today. The first message was called, I Believe What I Believe, based on Rich Mullen's song called Creed. I believe what I believe makes me what I am. The key verse was Romans 4:3 that says, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Let's bring up the second one. The second message was called The Belief-Centered Person. We quoted Stephen Covey, who said that everyone is a person who is money-centered, job-centered, spouse-centered, family-centered, work-centered, all those things that people center their lives, and he believed we should be principle-centered. As a Christian, I changed that to belief-centered. We are centered in what we believe as people. 1 John 3:23 says, and this is the command of God, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. That's the summary statement for your life. The third message, the biology of belief. We talked about how what we believe affects us physically and emotionally and spiritually. We quoted Acts 16:34, where it says, the jailer brought them into his house, Paul and Silas, and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. What brought about the joy, the change in his life? His belief in God, hence the title, The Biology of Belief. Today we're going to talk about belief language by looking at a passage of Scripture in the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, beginning at verse 63. Jesus is speaking, and he says this, the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life, yet there are some of you who do not believe. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled or empowered him. Well, all this week, part 4 of an 8-part message series on the word believe. This week from John, the 6th chapter, about the language of belief. What I'm going to do this morning is simply give you 3 statements about how we manifest belief language in life. You have a language of love. You have a language of anger when you're angry. You have a language of a disagreement when you disagree with someone. There's the language is expressed in a lot of ways, but there's belief language that expresses your belief. Let's bring up the first one. Our belief language will be influenced by what and whom we follow. Our belief language will be influenced by what and whom we follow. Tell me what political views you follow or what politician you follow, and I can tell you something about what you believe politically. Name some of the philosophers in life that you follow and you read a lot and you follow their teaching. I'll tell you something about what you believe, because our belief language will be influenced by what and whom we follow. And I'm convinced that when a man or woman or young person says, I follow Jesus Christ, it impacts their belief language. It's reflected in the way they talk. Tell me how you live and I'll tell you what you believe. Tell me how you live and I'll tell you what you believe. Peggy Hanlein was a woman from the Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky. I want you to listen to her powerful story. She said years ago she was flying from Newark, New Jersey to Louisville, Kentucky, and the way she describes the seating, this had to be, in my opinion, Southwest Airlines, because they were the only airline that I remember that had seats that faced one another. You could actually get on a flight and you could face people in two or three rows, and you could have a group of people sit together and visit during the flight. She was describing that setup in seating. She said across from her, when on this flight from Newark, New Jersey to Louisville, there was a man named Andy. Now, she was dating someone else, and Andy was dating someone else, but she said the two of them really hit it off, really developed this conversation. And when the flight was over, she said, I would have liked to have gotten to know Andy better, but I'll never see him again. Would you believe that 4 months later, they met at another gathering, didn't recognize the other. But it was after talking for 15 or 20 minutes, one of them said to the other, were you on a flight from Newark to Louisville 4 months ago? And the other said, yeah, I was. And they reacquainted. Well, you know what happened. They started dating and they got married. She had 4 babies at the same time, just as an aside. That's quite a bit to have 4 children all at the same time. And she gave birth to those 4 babies, and she discovered a church in Louisville, Kentucky, called Southeast Christian Church, Women's Bible Study Group. And here's what she said. This is really powerful. When I try to describe the impact of the Bible study classes at Southeast Christian Church and what they had on me, I think of the scene from the movie, The Wizard of Oz. She says, do you remember the part of the film when it changes right in the middle of the movie from black and white to color? That's how it was for me. You're really looking at the same stuff all along, but suddenly you really see it. Now I see the beauty as well. What happened to Peggy Hanlein? What she followed changed, and the one she followed changed. And all of a sudden, her belief language changed because everything changed. She said it was like going from a black and white movie to a color movie because her eyes were different because of the one who was the Lord of her life. Your belief language will be influenced by whom and what you follow. Let's bring up another one. Our belief language will be demonstrated by what we do. Tell me what you do all the time on a regular basis, and I can tell you something about what you believe. Well, tomorrow on Cross Hope, we'll pick it up with part 3 of this message on belief language. I don't know if you've even thought of this term before. We have a language of love. We have a language of anger. We have a language of disagreement. We have a belief language that reflects what we believe about the Lord. It's interesting. I'm always intrigued by the response that I get to illustrations I use. There has been no illustration that I've used in the last year that has produced more response from people after the services, both jokingly but seriously, to the one I used recently about Jim and Becky. Jim and Becky were the couple from Atlanta, Georgia. You remember the story, how that for 2 years, he sold his blood plasma twice a month for 2 years just to take that money so he could buy an engagement ring for his wife. And some of men in this room wouldn't sell their blood for anything. A new car, wouldn't any, but he said for 2 years, he told me this personally, I sold my blood plasma twice a month for 2 years so I could buy an engagement ring for my wife, Becky. And I remember thinking that every time Becky would look at the ring, she would say to herself, I married a crazy person. No, she didn't say that. Every time she looked at that ring, she realized that a tremendous price was paid. Our belief language will be demonstrated by what we do. He did something dramatic in that case. Tell me how you live, and I'll tell you what you believe. Would you listen to that again? Tell me how you live, and I'll tell you what you believe. Tell me how you talk, and I'll tell you what you believe. Tell me how you conduct your personal business and your personal finances, and I'll tell you what you believe. Because our belief system, not always, but usually corresponds with what we do. Your belief system will usually correspond to what you do. I don't know if any of you remember a pediatrician years ago that used to be on all the talk shows. This was a long time ago, but some of you will remember him. You remember this tall, thin doctor by the name of Lendon Smith? And Lendon Smith would go on all the talk shows and talk about raising your children. He said one of the most interesting things about being a pediatrician that I ever heard anyone admit. He said when he was in medical school, he was taught that any doctor who was interested in nutrition was a quack. He said, that's what I was taught, both directly and indirectly. If you're a doctor and you're interested in nutrition, you're a nut job. You're a quack, because he believed that we were the best fed nation in the world and doctors need to be more interested in medicine than nutrition. But Dr. Lendon Smith would say, after many decades of practice, he said, I came to the conclusion that it was just the opposite. That nutrition wasn't just nice or important. He said it was vitally important. The mother's nutrition. Get this. Not only during the pregnancy, but her nutrition months or maybe a year or two before the pregnancy. And then he would hear doctors say, it's not important. It doesn't matter. And he said, it does matter what you take into your body. And isn't it interesting that Jesus would say this in one of the verses? My words are the very spirit of life, spirit of God. My words are life to you. And when we take in the words of Christ, we're not just taking in a philosophical concept. We're taking in life itself. Because Jesus said the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. Meaning what? In comparison, what matters is the Spirit of God in your life more so than your physical body. As important as it is, your physical health, what matters more is that the Holy Spirit of God resides in your body than that you have a healthy body. The Spirit of God is what gives life, and the words of Jesus are what give life. Our belief language will be demonstrated by what we do. Well, tomorrow we'll continue on the 4th of July with part 4 of this message about belief language. You have a language of love, you have a language of anger, you have a language of discussion, argumentation. You also have a belief language that reflects what you believe or don't believe about the Lord. Now, this is my favorite one, the third one I'm going to give you. We're going to spend some time on this one. Our belief language will flow out of what is foundational in our lives. Your belief language will flow out of what is foundational in your lives. Here's what I mean by that. Only you know what really is foundational in your life. You can say, and I can say, we all can say to people, oh, this is really what's important. But when you're alone at night, in just those moments before you go to sleep at night, you know what really matters, what is foundation of life. And listen carefully. Everything flows in your life in terms of what is foundational. If money is foundational in your life, that will flow out in 1,000 different ways. If power and prestige are important to you, that will outflow from your life in 1,000 different ways during the week. Why? Because that's what's foundational in your life, and your belief language will flow out of that. My favorite professor in college at Cincinnati Christian University, ironically, my favorite professor, the one class that I got early to so I could get a good seat, and I can't say that about too many classes, unfortunately, that I took. I wasn't a good college student. But I would go to hear E. Ray Jones. E. Ray Jones grew up in eastern Kentucky. And E. Ray Jones said, when I tell people that I grew up on a river in eastern Kentucky, he said, I don't mean that I grew up at a river or near a river. He said, I grew up on the river. He didn't mean that he was on a houseboat or on a boat, but he said his house literally started at the shore of the river, someplace in eastern Kentucky, and the house was built out over the river, and there were pylons, the back of the house supporting it, that went down into the water, down into the mud of the riverbank, down to hard rock, to bedrock. Now get this, he said, my bedroom was at the far end of the house. And he said, I can remember as a little boy, there would be storms going on, and I could hear the water rushing under my bedroom. And he said, I was sure I would wake up the next morning and I'd be floating down the river. Can you imagine this during storms and heavy-duty storms? He said not only could he hear the water rushing underneath his bedroom, he would hear logs and debris hit the pylons of the house. Can you imagine how disconcerting that would be? You'd hear this thud in the middle of the night, and it was a log hitting the pylon of underneath his bedroom. Now, here's the rest of the story. E. Ray Jones grew up there, went to college in Cincinnati, went on to be a minister in Indianapolis for years. He said 50 years after leaving home, he said, I wanted to go back to my hometown in eastern Kentucky. And he said, I was sure that house was gone. It's been 50 years. And E. Ray Jones said, would you believe when I went back 50 years later, that house was still there. Those pylons were still there that were supporting the house. My bedroom was still there out over the river. Why was that house still there 50 years later? May I tell you why? Because of the foundation. Not because of the pylons that went into the water and into the mud, but because of the foundation that supported those pylons. That's why that house was still standing 50 years later. Here's my point. As you come to the end of your life, whenever that may be, and I come to the end of my life, whenever that may be, what is going to matter is what is foundational in our life. That's the bedrock of life that you're going to stake your life and your death upon. And my point today, as a belief-centered person, as a person who believes in Jesus Christ, the foundation of your life has got to be the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's the rock bottom foundation for your life.
Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place, to hear the conclusion of this message. Now then, today, the conclusion of a message we began on Monday. It's part of the series on the word believe. You and I are the result of what we believe. This week's message is on belief language. May seem strange to use that term, but we all have a language of belief that reveals things, phrases we use that reveal that we are a believer in Jesus Christ. This is the conclusion of that message. We'll continue this series on the word believe next week. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
Donald Gray Barnhouse was a minister years ago. He wrote in a book, he said this, a few years ago I went to California to preach, and my visit coincided with the final sickness and the death of one of my sisters. She had been dying of cancer for many months. Another sister told me that she thought the anticipation of my visit was the one thing that furnished my sister the will to live. I reached her home on a Saturday morning and I went to her room. She greeted me with love and joy and began to talk to me about the Lord in heaven. Almost at once, my sister said this. This is really interesting. Donald, this was Saturday morning. Donald, I want you to preach my funeral, and I want you to preach it next Wednesday. Can you imagine talking to your sister, and your sister says, I want you to do my funeral, it'll be Wednesday. And Donald Gray Barnhouse said, you had to know my sister to understand why she would say things like that, because that was her personality, her nature. And he said, I told my sister, of course, I would do it, but I questioned the finality of her opinion as to the day of her death. No, she said quietly, I will go tomorrow. I'll die tomorrow, and it will be wonderful. Then Donald Gray Barnhouse said this, my sister said one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard about death. She said, Donald, life is like living in a darkened room. Listen to that again. Life is like living in a darkened room. You get glimpses of the sunlit garden outside. You just see faint light outside the windows. You're living in the shadow. But death is the door that takes you out of the shadowy room of life into the sunlit presence of Jesus Christ. And Donald, I'm so glad to have come to that door. Now remember, Saturday morning, she says, I'm going to die tomorrow. I want you to do the funeral on Wednesday. I left my sister and I took a plane to Los Angeles where I was to speak the next day. And on that day, another sister called me to say that death had indeed come for her that morning. I told the story at her funeral, and I've told it many times since. My sister passed through the door from the darkened living room to the garden of the presence of Jesus Christ, where in fact no sun, S-U-N, is necessary. Now that's an emotional story that tugs at the heart. It's very sentimental, but let me tell you this. It's a reflection of a woman who had a foundation in her life. It wasn't this earth. It wasn't what she owned. It wasn't the system. It wasn't her retirement. It wasn't this or that. It was Jesus Christ. And what flowed out of the foundation of her life was a belief language that I'm going to die tomorrow and my funeral's going to be Wednesday and I'm leaving a darkened room and going into the sunlit presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was belief language that came out of the foundation of her life. What is the foundation of your life? What is it in your life that you can point to that reflects your faith in Jesus Christ? What is it you've said? What is it you've done? What decision have you made? What compromises have gone in your life? What decisions, choices have you made that indicate this is the belief language of my life? This is what's foundational in my life. This is what really matters. What I do reflects what I believe, and what I believe is impacted by what I do. It all dovetails together. What's that say to you, and what does it say about you today? Let's pray together.
Well, next week on Cross Hope, I'd like for you to hear a message entitled The Incredible Result of Believing. Believing does powerful things in my life. We'll talk about it next week.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.